Melnick in the Afternoon, TSN 690.
Ladies and gentlemen, for 33 years, he has been a fixture in New York sports as the play-by-play announcer for the New York Rangers on MSG Network. From his 1994 iconic exclamation, "And this one will last a lifetime," to his signature call after power play goals, his passion and dedication to his craft is legendary. Last week in Toronto, he was awarded the most prestigious honor the hockey community can bestow when he was inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame as the recipient of the 2016 Foster Hewitt Memorial Award. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the one and only Sam Rosen.
They have one man back, and that's Brown. Boyd's going to go ahead with quick hands. McTavis will have to nullify it.
Here it is. The waiting is over. The New York Rangers are the Stanley Cup champions. And this one will last a lifetime.
Yeah, that was just before the game started last night. And then it was the Rangers. They're really taking care of the Penguins rather easily. Welcome back. It's game night on two fronts. 61,004 for the impact at the Big O and at the Bell Center. Habs and Senators, all that and much more coming up right now with Pierre Maguire.
Pierre Maguire on TSN 690, brought to you by Dagwoods Catering. Make your office party a hit with Dagwoods Catering. Order online at dagwoods.ca.
In Boston tonight, he is going to see David Backes and the Bruins take on the St. Louis Blues. How you doing, Pierre?
I am excellent, Mitch. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Yes, I will bring a little, what would they call that, an understudy to watch the game. Little Ryan's coming with me tonight.
I just
watched him try out at his prep school, and now we're heading to the rink, so it's fun.
Try out?
Oh, yeah, they got to try out for the teams. You know, these prep schools are competitive, so he was at tryouts the last 2 days at his prep school, yeah. So I came up today to watch, and then we're heading to the game. And then after we're done, going home for a couple days, Thanksgiving.
So this must be a rare father-son NHL rink as fans treat?
It is. We usually only get it once a year. Last year we actually saw Ottawa play against Boston down here. So usually it's once a year. So this will probably be our one time.
And I can imagine what it's like to watch a game with Pierre Maguire sitting next to your dad. Is Pierre, I mean, are you in like full analyst mode or full coach mode here?
I usually listen. He asks really good questions and I listen to the question and then we talk about it. Like he'll ask me about a matchup or he'll ask me about a face-off situation. He's a center iceman, so he's inquisitive by nature. But we usually just sit there and he asks questions and I try to answer them as quick as possible.
Is he enjoying it there in Boston?
Ryan, are you enjoying Boston? Yes, but he'll always be a Montrealer.
That was some editorial content expressed by Dad there.
Yes, because his mother and grandmother are probably listening.
What's your pregame routine tonight?
No pregame routine. Just go to the ring.
Oh, you're not having a couple of beers? Come on, a couple of pops.
No, I got to drive 3 hours.
Oh, okay. All right.
I got to behave.
So last night, Ryan McDonagh +5, Sidney Crosby -4.
Yeah. Well, Letang had a -5 last week, if you remember. And no, the one thing I would tell you is I thought last night, I watched that whole game, I was really impressed by how thorough the Rangers were after the first period. I mean, they took terms of that game and they just dictated everything from pace to hitting to goaltending. They just took it over. They really did.
Yeah, you know, you hate to read too much into a game in November, but If ever there's a statement game in November, that was it last night.
For those two teams, I would agree. The statement game to me from last night, Mitch, and I was watching it, and I was like, you got to be kidding me. Nashville, Tampa.
I saw that.
The vitriol, the nastiness, the cheapness, that was nasty beyond belief. That was, to me, that was the ultimate statement game, and I'm not seeing any suspensions. I'm not even hearing any hearings. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, first of all, P.K. Subban scored two goals in the second period. Two of the three goals as Nashville beat Tampa 3-1, but it got really nasty. Gallo, you were watching.
Yeah, I was watching that game, and it was J.T. Brown with a complete blindside hit of Roman Josi. Josi's coming around the net and never sees J.T. Brown coming. And
it was
then
right to the head.
Right to the head, and then Ryan Ellis decides to get some retribution, and he gets tossed for a similar play.
Well, how about Jason Garrison with the tomahawk chop to the head right in front of the official, Chris Lee, by the way, Mitch's favorite, right to the top of the head against Victor Arvidsson, no call. And then Victor Arvidsson later on in the game, two-hand cross-check to the back of Nemestikov, who goes face-first into the boards. No calls on any of these things.
I'm just curious. We don't often see a game of that kind of intensity involving teams from different conferences like that. Is there some kind of history we're not aware of here?
No, and I've been talking about it on a lot of different radio shows today. Not that I'm aware of. And, you know, you think about where Stamkos' injury has Tampa Bay, and you got to think, now they're a little road weary. They've been on the road for a while. But you have to think, you know, we don't want any more guys hurting us. And then J.T. Brown, and Mitch Gallo nailed it. That J.T. Brown hit on Roman Josi, how is that not that direct shoulder to the face? Do you see Roman Josi's reaction afterwards when he's going down the tunnel?
Yeah,
the guy's apoplectic. Yeah,
threw his gloves in disgust, and so we don't know if there's anything wrong at this point. But that's a 5-minute major.
If it's not charging, it's something. I mean, it was really nasty. Anyways, I digress.
Habs and Senators tonight, and
good example of guys who play that way are Toronto. You see their flankers be on their strong side. I think it allows you to come down with speed, and it's a bit easier to get a shot on net while you're, I guess, square to the goal. So we'll try it. It was good in practice. It was a lot of fun being there, and we'll see how it goes tonight.
All right. Max Pacioretty, by the way, doesn't sound like a guy that has the whole city on his back, apparently. You know, he's pretty loose this morning.
He was. A lot of smiles from Pacioretty. What he's talking about there, Pierre, is the formation on the power play that the Leafs like to go through, where they zip it across the box from left to right, and they hit that guy on the right side who's the left-handed shot, and he's able to get off the quick shot. I think they're going to try that with Pacioretty tonight.
Well, that's good. I mean, we'll see how that plays out, obviously. I think that's, you know, one of those things where they're trying to experiment. Now, I will say this about Ottawa. There have been a lot of positives with their team and some negatives. One of the negatives is obviously they don't score a lot. One of the positives for them, their penalty killing's exceptional. It's been really, really good. And Mark Crawford and Guy Boucher and Robbie Cookson deserve a lot of credit, because that power play's been, or the penalty kill's been really good for them.
Yeah, it's been perfect for almost a month, like 100% since the end of October.
Yeah, no, it's impressive. I mean, I'm bamboozled by their ineptness on the power play. I just cannot figure out their power play. And with Guy coaching there, and I'm a huge Guy Boucher fan, I thought that power play would rock and roll, and it's been anything but. It's been bad, really bad.
Anytime a player is traded and he's playing for a new team, there's challenges in getting acclimated to playing, particularly with new line mates and new system. And it sounds cliched, but, you know, in watching Derek play the game, it's not necessarily reflected in the scoring summary, but he's been playing well.
There's his agent, Alan Walsh, agent provocateur. A week ago, this was after Pierre pointed out that Derek Brassard was not playing well, stuck on one goal. He actually scored, I think, in the very next game. So he has two goals coming into the game tonight. Still, obviously, way below expectations for a guy who figured to at least be the 1A center on this team.
He's got to want the puck more, and they've got to get him the puck more. And Alan knows this, I'm a big fan of the player, but the player is laboring. For whatever reason, there's not a comfort level for him right now. They've got to find it for him. He's got to really help himself find it. They need him to be a lot better, because without his offense, they are going to really struggle. They need him to be 25 to 30 goals. I think he was 27 last year. They need him to be 25 to 30 goals, so he's got to get on it here pretty quick.
Still trying to kind of figure it out some ways offensively, but now the group of guys that we have here is pretty special, and I really enjoy being around those guys and trying to do something special this year.
don't know. Do you think part of it might be the fact that you've got a new coaching staff here and you know how tight Guy Boucher likes to play at 5-on-5, that he's sacrificing some offense and that it, in his belief, hopefully in the long run by playoff time, they'll have it everything figured out?
I hope you're on to something there. I think there's something different. Vigneault turned his guys loose. The Rangers tried to play fast. I think that benefited him. Having more artillery around him benefited him. Losing Clark MacArthur early on this year, I think, really hurt Ottawa a little bit. Not having Curtis Lazar make the team out of camp, I think, set him back a little bit. There have been missing pieces to the puzzle. Hoffman's been hurt from time to time. Stone's been hurt from time to time. It's kind of been a disjointed lineup. Maybe that's part of the problem for Derek. But I would cede you this on him. If he's not scoring, one thing he can do, he can help you in other ways. So he's not a one-trick pony, and that's the one thing I'll cede you on that on him.
Pierre, we heard the coach yesterday on Pacioretty.
Faut pas toujours t'attendre à recevoir la rondelle. Des fois, faut t'aller la chercher.
And I'm curious, when you hear something as strong as that publicly, does it indicate that perhaps, we don't know, but perhaps the coach has already addressed something like that with the player privately?
Oh, yeah. Guaranteed. You know, it's interesting that you bring that up. I don't know. Again, the Rangers were down 2-0 in their game with Pittsburgh last night, and Alain Vigneault did something that was really smart. He had the Jerry Dineen, who's an amazing video coach for the Rangers, put together all the things the Rangers were doing wrong from the first period. And rather than talk to them, they showed them tape. And the players responded to the tape, and they took over the game after that. When you make a coaching message like that publicly, you better have addressed it with the player before. And I have to think, based on what Michel has done over the last couple of years, his relationship, I think, with his players has done better. I have to think he would have brought that up to Max before he said that publicly.
Go ahead.
And, Pierre, just one guy. I don't know how much we've spoken about him the last couple of days, but Charles Hudon, I want to ask you about this yesterday because we didn't get around to it. In that game against the Maple Leafs, he took a penalty with 4 minutes left. And when that happened, I was thinking to myself, oh, man, with this coach and the way this kid has had a hard time getting into the lineup, we're not going to see him ever again. Well, it looks like he's going to play again tonight. We'll find out during the skate, the pregame skate. But I'm just wondering the way Coach Therrien deals with players, and specifically Charles Hudon in this case.
Well, now he's on a short leash. The coach is in charge, and he knows, the player knows, because I guarantee you that was addressed too. If you want to stay here, you have to do it a certain way, and that's not going to benefit you. We want you on the ice. We want to give you a chance to be on the ice, but you better stop. No penalties. Like, when you're put in a trusted position, can't take a penalty. It's that simple. And your message doesn't have to be mean or nasty. Just has to be concise and to the point.
Well, your instinct was good. Charles Hudon is not playing tonight. Daniel Carr is back in the lineup tonight.
There you go.
For the Canadiens. And before we put this specific game to bed for now, again, with the Ottawa Senators struggling to the extent that they are offensively, I'm just curious, and I know it's a, you know, coaches have their certain guys that they like, and wherever they are, they're going to want these guys, and it appears Tom Pyatt is one of those guys for Guy Boucher. But
he'd be one of them for me too, Mitch.
But he's playing, but for 16 minutes a night?
No.
He's playing 15 minutes and 43 seconds a night.
He's a 12-minute player is what he is. That's what Tommy is. Tommy's a 12-minute player. You know, there were two players that Guy Boucher loved. One, Tommy Pyatt, and the other one, Nate Thompson. They used to call him Nate Boucher in Tampa because Nate, he just loved those two guys because they were so trusting. Their defensive zone coverage, face-off plays, shot blocking. You could put them out there to defend the lead. You could put them out there to get energy, to get a lead back. So those kinds of players are important, but you can't overplay them. I mean, we all have safety blankets that we like to go to when we're coaching, but you can't overplay those guys. You just can't.
And for the Senators, looks like Mike Hoffman is back, but Bobby Ryan now is out with some kind of hand
broken
injury.
Broken finger, yeah. I think his finger's broken. That's too bad. The biggest thing I worry about with Bobby, and I know Bobby pretty well, Bobby Ryan, that there's not a lot of pace in his game. He needs to play with fast players if he's going to get, you know, going offensively. If he's not playing with fast players, he's going to labor. He really is.
So the story in Boston with David Backes's first year as a member of the Bruins, you know, he missed those games because of that arm shoulder injury, but
He looks good. He looks like he's played there before. But the real story in Boston is Tuukka Rask being revived.
Tuukka's been great. Tuukka's been off the charts good. I think the biggest thing with Tuukka that stands out as I watch him, he's tracking the puck a lot like, remember when we talked about Jeff Hackett, how he would track the puck so well and make himself so square? I'm seeing the same thing from Tuukka. Same kind of thing. The best goalies in the league, Henrik Lundqvist's really good at that. The best guys in the league, Carey Price is off the charts at it. Track the puck so well, and that's what Tuukka's doing right now.
All right, I want to finish up with something since you mentioned Carey Price. Your favorite U.S. president who's never attended a hockey game, okay?
Yes, sir.
He gave out the U.S. The Presidential Medal of Freedom, which is the highest award any civilian can get. And it was a star-studded affair, Pierre, like Springsteen and De Niro and Diana Ross.
Right.
And Tom Hanks was there, and a significant right. number of sports types. Vin Scully.
All the people that didn't vote for Trump.
Here's a line that made me think of you, and I wanted to bring it up with you.
There is a reason you call somebody the Michael Jordan of. Michael Jordan of neurosurgery, or the Michael Jordan of rabbis, or... Here's how great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was. 1967, he had spent a year dominating college basketball. The NCAA bans the dunk. They didn't say it was about Kareem, but it was about Kareem. When a sport changes its rules to make it harder just for you, you are really good.
So a couple of things here.
Oh, I have to step in here.
Sure.
I would like to ask that president who Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's coach was, because I know who it was, the great John Wooden.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, and I could be wrong on this, you may want to Google it, I believe John Wooden had an internal rule that his players were not allowed to dunk.
Well,
so I don't think the NCAA had anything to do with that.
Oh, is that kind of like the Ron Wilson rule where he wouldn't allow his defenseman to skate with one hand on the stick? They had to have two hands on the stick?
Yeah, you had to have two hands on your stick if you were defending. That's what hurt Luke Shen so much.
Yeah. Okay, we'll check on that. But the reason I mentioned that specific to hockey, the Canadians of the 50s, they got the power play rule change. The Oilers of the 80s, right, they would get 4-on-4s by taking a guy off. They got that rule change. And Marty Brodeur, can you imagine as great as Carey Price is?
The puck handling.
If the trapezoid wasn't there, what that would mean?
Oh, I've been so – well, you and I talked about it when they put it in. Of all the rule changes they made in 05-06, coming into 05-06, that's the one that I said, that's ridiculous. Can't do that. You're penalizing an art. It's a skill. Carey Price, and I'm just telling you for the ones that really never saw Marty Brodeur, I think Marty was probably the best pure puck handler I've ever seen. Eddie Belfour was very good, but I think Carey Price, and I saw him in the 05 World Under 18, he was off the charts even then. I think he's the best puck handling goalie I've ever seen.
Greg Sutton at the Big O in front of 61,004 for that Montreal Impact. Yeah.
That's awesome, huh?
80,000 plus for sports in Montreal tonight. So that's coming up in a couple of minutes. Where are you sitting at the game tonight? Like center ice?
I don't know. I get tickets from NBC. I was fortunate enough that they had a couple. Because NBC's doing this game, believe it or not. I just wasn't asked to do it, so I'm not doing it. Hmm. I'm watching it.
So if I ever needed tickets, I just call my NBC.
I'll always do my best to get you tickets. You know that.
Yeah, that's not a guarantee.
Can somebody check on that? I think John Wooden had an internal rule, because I read his book, that dunking was prohibited.
We're waiting.
Yeah, I'm reading the New York Times has his obit online.
Right.
And Pierre, I mean, there is a chapter in the obit that suggests he allowed dunking, but it had to be no-nonsense dunking. No,
okay,
not flashy in any way. So none of this like bouncing up and down in your head and then jumping up and down in one leg and then dunking. Like it has to be strict by the book dunking. But that's just based on this Times piece.
You ever want to read a great book on leadership? Read John Wooden's book. Amazing. Off the freaking charts.
Yeah. I'll read Obama.
There is a reason you call somebody the Michael Jordan of. Michael Jordan of neurosurgery, or the Michael Jordan of rabbis, or... the Michael Jordan of outrigger canoeing. And they know what you're talking about. Because Michael Jordan is the Michael Jordan of greatness. He is the definition of somebody so good at what they do that everybody recognizes him. That's pretty rare.
Have a great time in Boston tonight, Pierre.
You're the Michael Jordan of broadcasters. Remember that.
How about that?
Metallica.
Metallica.
Hardwired to self-destruct. The new album, including
Hardwired.
Hardwired.
Hardwired to self-destruct.